Welcome back, everybody, to the final of our four, not quite simultaneous, but consecutive podcasts here at Hoops HD. If you are looking for the American, it's up there. The A10 is up there. The Mountain West is up there. But if you're looking for the West Coast Conference, you're in the right spot. This is our West Coast Conference preview. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Tytel, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, David Griggs, and John Salica below me. And as we have every single season since time began, it feels like. Tytel, when we start talking about the West Coast Conference, there's only one team we start with, and that is, of course, the Zags.
How can you not? They are fantastic as always. You bring back Drew Timmy as a All-American caliber National Player of the Year candidate. He's 6'10" and he scores and he rebounds and he doesn't miss shots. Amazing numbers last year, 18-7, but he only played 28 minutes a game. He thought about going pro, came back. I think he and Shi Wei are 1 and 1A for Player of the Year this year. Mark Few returns. Not sure when they're going to put him in the Hall of Fame or what they're waiting for, probably for him to win a ring, and he keeps getting so close. I think that this is their conference, and everybody else just wants a piece of them.
Yeah, Rocco, just so many pieces on this team too.
God,
It's
yeah.
even beyond Timmy.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. Like Malachi Smith, a guy we loved at Chattanooga, is just another guy at Gonzaga. It's crazy. SoCon Player of the Year. But I think the guy that doesn't get talked about nearly enough, going back to last year's Mosir Bolton, he really does a little bit of everything for them. Gets a key steal, a key rebound, just does all the little things in between, and he can also score when he gets his opportunities. An 2 points per game guy from last season. And then Nolan Hickman now gets the chance to take over for Andrew Nembhard. And quite honestly, Nolan Hickman's more talented than Nembhard. And so if he takes that freshman to sophomore leap that I keep bringing up, they could be even better at that position, if you can imagine. I think the one concern I have is in the middle. Obviously Drew's back, but Drew Timmy's back, but without Chet I'm not sure if Efton Reed is ready. And again, when I'm not talking about for the WCC right now, I'm talking about for the national picture when they get to the Sweet 16. I don't think there's much concern about them getting to that round. But once they get there, Arkansas exposed some things last year, and a team like that could really kind of expose a weakness in the middle that maybe we'll see what Efton can bring, because I think they need another guy to supplement Drew Timmy. Because after that, you got to go all the way down to Ben Gregg, who barely ever plays. So,
Oh, but you got, I guess in background, no, Julian Strother is still here
he's a
too. Another
wing
game.
player. Yeah,
He's a
he's a
wing
wing
player.
player.
Yeah, more of a
Yeah.
wing, but more
And
offense at least there.
again, like we're talking about like the extreme of the extremes, not until we get to the Sweet 16, but I think the rest of the year they're gonna be fine. But these are the reasons why, some of the little reasons why they just haven't been able to get all the way to the finish line.
They've certainly gotten close more than most teams.
Yes, yes.
Last year was the first time, and I believe since 15-16 that they failed to get past the Sweet 16. Is that correct?
I think
I mean,
so.
it's just an unbelievable run, and it was also the first time in about 3 or 4 years they'd failed to win 30 games. Is Mark Few's seat heating up?
Well, I mean, if they get invited to the Big East, we'll see if that wind tunnel keeps going down.
Salika, this is the other team we've always seems to discuss right at the start in the West Coast Conference for recent years has been BYU. This is the last time we're going to be doing it. This is their last season in the conference. Is there anything that BYU do you like in the BYU roster here in their final go around of the WCC?
From what I'm hearing, Fasani Traore is going to be the name that shows up among the preseason conference teams. Gideon George, I think, is the other notable player that's going to be returning for BYU, but they had quite a few players that had graduated from the previous year. So there's going to be a little bit of a reloading going on, but fortunately, there's not going to be much below them, St. Mary's, San Fran, and another team that you people are high on. So the chances will be there for BYU to be in the hunt for an NCAA tournament bid, but I'm not sold that they'll get in there this year.
Yeah, I kind of look like this BYU team seems to be getting ready for next year this year. It's almost like a
That's the
transitional
kind of
year.
yeah. I get the same feeling, Chuck.
Okay. All right. Tytel, what about the Dons?
I think that they have one of those first-year coaches I love in Chris Gerlofsson. I got to interview Khalil Shabazz earlier this month, 14 points a game. He's made the all-conference second team twice in his career. He made the NCAA tournament last March, lost to Murray State. The good news is, like, he's a great player and he's got some pieces around him. The bad news is he's played Gonzaga 8 times in his career. Guess how many times he's won?
I don't need to. 0.
You are correct. Obviously, he's not alone because Gonzaga has owned this conference for the past 2 decades. But I wonder, on a mental level, when you're facing the Zags, knowing that they've beaten you 8 times previously, like, part of me says you're going to get up for that game because you're so angry about it and you want to get over that hump. And part of me is like, good Lord, I got to play this team again.
Yeah. Rocco, this is your backyard there, San Francisco, and maybe the team we'll go to next as well here. Your thoughts on them and maybe right into the other team in your area there.
Well, we've got 3, but I'll go with the one I think you're picking to get a little higher. But yeah, so San Francisco, I was actually just at practice a couple hours ago. So good timing on this show. I'll say this. I think Chris Gerlofsson's got a multitude of combinations. You'll probably see this team go 4 guard lineups. A lot of fun, a lot of offense. I think they've got a lot to work on defensively, but it's hard to know without seeing an actual game. These are kind of just coach thoughts that coming through me here. But I like the talent in the roster. I think Julian Reshwain's a guy that not many people talk about. He was up to almost 30 minutes a game at the end of last year. Transferred from Boston College, 43% 3-point shooter. I think he's going to catch a lot of people by surprise this year and make a nice step forward. And then I think San Francisco probably finishes 4th, but there's upside there. So that's exciting. When it comes to St. Mary's, obviously the expectations are a little bit higher. They had an incredible run to a 5 seed, including a win over Gonzaga, one of the only times Gonzaga's lost in recent memory in this league. And a lot of great pieces are back. You know, losing Tommy Cousy after 18,000 years, he's finally gone. But Augustus Marshallonis, Sharunas' son, and the freshman Aidan Mahaney, those are just electric guards from overseas that will really keep this program ticking. Logan Johnson might be the best on-ball defender in the conference. You got Dukas Bowen. Saxon's a nice player that's been there 3 years now. I don't think they're going anywhere. They should be a solid tournament team.
Yeah. Griggs, I heard you talking. Do you agree with him about that? I'm very high this St. Mary's team.
Oh, yeah, I am too. I mean, I don't think – I think they're a solid tournament team, just like he said, way in on the first ballot, probably in the top half of the bracket. Not as good as Gonzaga.
Okay, not as good as Gonzaga. Beyond these 4 teams we've already discussed, I've got a team that I'm very high on heading into this season. Tytel, let me ask you about them first of all here. Shante Leggins and the Portland Pilots with their top 6 players back. I'm not saying it's an NCAA tournament team, but I think it's a team that could toe the bubble.
The bubble of what? Like the AC8? I mean,
okay. You're not with me, okay?
Wow.
I'm not with you.
You're slapping me. You just, whoa, oh, ow. Okay.
Self-slap. No, I mean, I don't think they're going to do anything at the Phil Knight Invitational. I don't think they can beat the Ducks in non-conference play. The good news is that all their great players are juniors. So I think next year is the year they make the leap, maybe. I don't think it's this year, though.
Rocco, will you join me on the Portland bandwagon here, coming off of a 19-win season, 500 in conference with everyone back?
I mean, I think they're solid, and it's exciting because Portland's been so down. If you actually look at February 1st on last year, they were a top 100 performing team in the last month of the year. I think that continues, but I still think they're probably like 90-ish nationally, which isn't really close to the bubble, but that's still probably a CBI or maybe bubble NIT. I think that's the most realistic, but I think, you know, some of these teams, whether it's St. Mary's, BYU, San Francisco had all sorts of problems with these guys last year. They lost to them once. They'll knock off 1 or 2 of those games, I think.
Stalika. Steve Lavin is a head coach again, now at San Diego. Does he remember how to coach?
Well, San Diego is certainly going to be a little bit of a struggle. And then We're looking at Herb Sendek, who's also still coaching at Santa Clara. There's going to be some experience in the bottom half of the West Coast Conference, but honestly, I wasn't prepared to discuss San Diego tonight.
Yeah. All right, Craig, so you want to discuss Steve Lavin.
I think that he remembers how to coach, but he'll need some of his old notes.
Beyond that, we have Herb Sendek at Santa Clara. Tytel, how much longer is he going to be there at this point?
I didn't think he'd still be there now. So anything's possible. If you think I'm going to say a bunch of nice things about a guy who was at ASU, you're dead wrong. But I think he's getting close to 500 career wins. And I always, as a fan of history, that's a big number. So I hope he gets it. Nice front court pieces in Parker Braun and Keyshawn Justice. But this team hasn't made the tournament since 96 when they played against some guy named Steve Nash. Excuse me. Ooh. They played with a guy named Steve Nash and lost to Kansas.
I don't think of him as a former Arizona State coach. He'll always have a spot in my heart as the Mother Miami coach, who was actually at the height of their program during the mid to late 90s, one of the disciples off of the Rick Pitino coaching tree.
Rocco, I got to ask you about Lorenzo Romar and the Pepperdine Waves, who I think could be a team that by the end of the season becomes kind of dangerous.
Well, yeah, I mean, Millett and Maxwell Lewis are going to be tremendous talents. I mean, those are probably two NBA players. We saw this recently when they had Kessler Edwards it was just a couple of years ago. Now Kessler Edwards, I believe, is an NBA starter. So Romar, of course, he's got a way of getting NBA talent down to Pepperdine, which is fascinating. Jan Zidek's been there a long time. There are some pieces. I just think with the coaching pedigree and not a ton of depth on the bench, that's going to build up and add up over the course of the season. And they probably still land around eighth or so in the league.
Mm-hmm. Right. Griggs, Loyola Marymount, Pacific, anything worth discussing on either of those programs?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about like how this conference has some really good teams in there and some really high expectations. Gonzaga, a potential Final Four candidate. And it's always important to note that those two teams are in a league with other teams of that caliber.
Okay. Yes. That might be all there is to speak about them. And that might be all about the West Coast. Probably our quickest conference we've done tonight, but I do want to run through each of you with the three questions we asked. Number one, who wins the league? The answer is Gonzaga, obviously. Number two, how many bids? And number three, any other thoughts about the league? And Slika, why don't we start with you this time?
Well, I'll probably say with Gonzaga winning the title, we're going to have two teams get in there. I'm probably thinking it's going to be St. Mary's. But as far as my final thought, if you want to go back into the archives, the last time the Fighting Rapinos at Portland made the NCAA tournament, you have to go back to 1996 was the only year they've ever won the West Coast Conference Tournament. But there was also one other NCAA tournament appearance going back in 1959 for that program. So we talk about a long dormant program right here.
All right. I'm going to go a little bit more. And I'm probably going to be the highest one. I'm going to go three bids out of this league. I really like Gonzaga, obviously, to win it. I like St. Mary's a lot to be a tournament team. I just think one of these teams, be it BYU, San Francisco, maybe a Portland out of a long shot, comes in and gets a third bid somehow this year. Rocco, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm close to you. I agree with Gonzaga, St. Mary's. My projections just have it cut off at two, unfortunately. I'd love to see three, but I do believe I could see just with the way the schedule's designed, if enough things fall into place, any of BYU, San Francisco, or Santa Clara getting in. And I say Santa Clara because they got a transfer from Illinois, Brandon Podzimensky. I talked to Craig Smith about their scrimmage directly, and this kid can fill it up. Nobody knew a lot about him because at Illinois he only played 4 minutes a game. But be careful because he can light it up. And Keyshawn Justice returned, Carlos Stewart's back, Parker Braun's back. This is a deep team. Betty Ocko is one of my favorite rebounders in the WCC. So I know
you're missing the fact that Herb Sendek is back as well, though.
I've been with you guys, you know, making Herb Sendek jokes for several years. But after what I saw last year doing a few of their games, he's really shifted his strategy and gone to an analytics model. It's much more like San Francisco and St. Mary's than it is like a Loyola Marymount or Pepperdine. Teams are still struggling. And I give him a lot of credit for that because it's not the way he coached before. And he's entrusting his staff now to have a lot of the say in the offense and defensive scheme. And I do think that gives him a chance. And they're also doing excellent job international recruiting and local recruiting. So we'll see how it plays out. They have a couple of great freshmen too, I think, coming in. So that's where I'm at with the whole league. Still, I don't have any of those teams that I can bona fide put them in yet, so we're stuck at two.
Okay. Tytel, what about you?
I think that we got the Zags winning it all, of course, and I think we got two more. I'll set the over-under at three and take the number. I think BYU and St. Mary's make it. They certainly lost some pieces from last year, but they're good. I think the Dons slide a little farther down, and sorry, Portland, not your year. As far as a fun fact, I'm looking at the UCLA connection. So imagine when we have Pepperdine heading out to play Steve Lavin. You got Lorenzo Romar and Lavin, who were assistants under Jim Herrick at UCLA when they won the title in 95. And as Rocco mentioned, Jan Zidek, whose father, Yuri, won the title that year as a player at UCLA. And now, like, they're all in the same conference. I mean, can we get Mark Gottfried out of retirement as the third assistant to Herrick to join this conference somehow? Or can we get UC Riverside to slide into the West Coast or something?
There we go. Griggs.
I'm going with just the two teams, St. Mary's and Gonzaga. I don't think anyone else is really just inside the bubble. We might see some improvement. Gonzaga to win the conference. I will throw this out as a possible caveat. I don't think Portland is an NCAA tournament team, but I could see them winning more games in the West Coast Conference tournament than what Gonzaga does because of this ridiculously stretched ladder that format that the conference has.
There we go. All right.
So just give them the trophy then.
Yeah. No, they're not going to win the tournament. They're just going to win more games in the tournament than anybody else.
I think we give it to him.
On that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us for our four podcasts. Again, American A-10, Mountain West all up there. If you look down below, well, I guess it's, you know, I don't know. Who'd you interview today, Tytel? That's what's down below. on behalf of Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, John Tytel, John Saliga, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with our Under the Radar preview, where we're going to be doing an hour each on 22 different conferences and 2 hours each on the independents. But we'll talk to you again real soon.